Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, September the 30th, 270th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, it must be a warm day in Fortuna. We got the police chief and the city manager here, both incognito and in short sleeves.
Oh, good afternoon, Brian.
Nice to see both of you guys.
Nice seeing you.
Happy to be here. It's always sunny in Fortuna, you know that.
Apparently. So what do you, I know you guys have got a meeting tonight.
We do.
We've been hearing that from Aaron on community comment all day long.
Hmm,
okay. Is that why you brought the heavy hitter with you?
No, I just, he's not necessarily a heavy hitter, but he's a representative of our police department, a big, actually half of our staff in the city of Fortuna. And
you're half the staff in the city of Fortuna? Just you, Bill?
Me,
way to go.
Me and about 24 other people.
Oh,
in the
your buddies,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Exactly.
Thought, boy, if we have two-thirds of the city staff right here with us today.
That'd be a pretty small city.
That'd be a small city, and there'd be a lot of people running around doing all kinds of funny things right now,
yeah.
At least for the next half hour while you were on the air, huh?
Oh, the mice don't play. they're very responsible.
Okay, so we'll talk a bit about Measure V, some of the things that are going on in Fortuna, some of the things that aren't going on that they would like to have go on in Fortuna.
Sure, that'd be
How's
great.
That for teeing it up?
That would be perfect.
A high-hanging... Okay, we'll see what they do with the curveball when we come back.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria and Bill Doberstein. But before we do, our quote this afternoon, I got Payne Stewart. That's kind of a long quote. I got Chichi Rodriguez, which is a fun quote.
Well, let's do Chichi.
All right. You've heard this one before, I know.
Maybe.
Golf is the most fun you can have.
With your clothes
Without taking your clothes
on.
Off, yeah, yeah.
That is the one, huh? Okay.
Yeah. I'm glad you chose it.
I chose the author. I didn't necessarily choose the quote.
Oh, I see. And who says he can't dance? So end of the first quarter for you guys, end of the third quarter for the calendar year. Going okay?
Yeah, pretty good. You know, we have a very tough budget, obviously. We're in a deficit mode, as we have been for the last 3 years. But at this point, I'm really happy with staff. We're not overspending. We're keeping things down. We actually have a couple of opportunities that are keeping our costs below what our anticipated expenses were. So hopefully we won't end up the year in a deficit mode and utilizing our reserves. But that's where we're at for now.
Bill, what percentage of your budget do you set aside for, we don't know how much, but by golly, we know we're going to have overtime.
Overtime. Quite a bit, actually. Our overtime budget, actually, we did reduce it this year, roughly a third of what it normally is. And we're trying to stay within the confines of that. But, of course, you know, stuff happens and overtime happens. So we do watch overtime. We try to keep overtime to a minimum. We're very good with our scheduling and things like that to try to ensure that we have minimum coverage on each shift. But it is a big part of our budget. We spend probably 5 to 10% of our budget's overtime.
Yeah, when Bill says we've reduced our overtime, it means our expectation.
We tried
to plan better and schedule better, do as much as we can administratively, but there's so much that we really don't have control over, but we'll know at the end of the year whether we've saved overtime or not. And actually, if you think about today, we have a guy off in court. It's costing us overtime that we didn't expect. He's having to go out of town. We have another officer that we're hopefully replacing soon that left for another agency.
Right.
So we're down a guy. We're down lower
or
than...
Or two guys.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're down two guys. We save a little bit in
the chief's out.
The chief's out.
He's on the radio.
Yeah. Talk about an anchor.
Yeah.
I seem to recall, oh boy, this is going back, maybe when Dave Renner was sheriff.
Oh, wow.
Okay, as a time frame. Reagan is obviously out of this conversation.
Yeah, I'm done.
But there was a lot of discussion about overtime versus hiring additional staff to do the work and avoid the overtime. That it kind of came out to, at some point, obviously in that continuum, it's cheaper to buy a cop than it is to overtime the existing cops, in addition to the fatigue and all those types of things. Right. And I understand that, you know, you want to hang the carrot out there for somebody, you know, give them a little extra, little overtime. But how do you make that determination, Bill, at budget time, whether or not you want to go, okay, hire a guy, or allow budget to hire a guy, or to go with the overtime and hope it doesn't need to be accessed?
Right. Well, you're right. When we use overtime, if we have a person out, or, you know, goes to another department or leaves and we're a position down, we're probably saving money because of the salary, the benefit costs, and all that sort of thing that go along with that position. But when you start utilizing overtime to primarily cover shifts, then you get into employee burnout and those types of issues as well. And you might be saving a little bit of money on, you know, the overtime issue. However, you're causing burnout, you're bringing morale down, that sort of thing. And, you know,
well, there's a liability
absolutely also. And yeah, you want our officer, they want to be fresh, they want to have, you know, adequate, you know, rest in between shifts. They like their days off. They are people too, and want to do things on their days off. And you know, when you take away their days off and they're working on their days off to cover shifts, employee burnout is a big concern for us. So, you know, we're kind of right there already with our staffing. We lose one position, like we just had an officer leave and go to another agency. It does, just that one position covering that shift on a minimum staffing level is, you know, creating a lot of overtime in our department.
So hopefully it's not a permanent.
No. We're actually hiring as we speak, and the apps are in, and we're doing testing next week.
Which there's obviously a cost associated with that as well. We do put it in our budget, and, you know, this is the HR cost for replacement. You know, there's the actual recruitment itself, there's the interview process, then there's all of the training.
The background process takes quite a while.
I mean, there's an actual expense each time we have to replace.
Don't forget the choreographer for the handshake.
Got
to be sure you get the magic handshake so you're allowed into the locker room.
That's right. We wait till they're after the background before we show them the secret handshake.
There you go. It's always step one, then two.
Yeah.
It's 3:19.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:23. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Regan Candelaria and Bill Doberstein. Stein?
Which is it? Which
I'm going both.
Stein.
Stein. Bill yes. Doberstein.
So he's like Papstein.
Yes.
Well, you should.
He's the other side of the family that we don't talk about much.
Yeah.
What's been the impact, guys, with the water situation? I know we've talked about the water treatment plant. Certainly a fair amount on a pretty regular basis. I know it's kind of like in a weird sense, of pride and joy right now of, mm-hmm. of Fortuna, which brings up a whole different set of questions, but we don't need to go there. With the river being as low as it is and the creeks being as mm-hmm. low as they are, water's still there, but does it change the dynamics at all or any of the concerns for public works in dealing with either the water coming in or the water going out?
Well, fortunately, in for all of the county, we did get some rain the last couple of weeks, and so the river's got a little bit more of a better look to it than everybody was.
Kind of a wet hue.
Yeah, I mean, it was really getting so difficult wet. There. So that's nice. For us in Fortuna, we did move to implementing some new ordinances to have our water shortage contingency plan. So that's been approved by our council. So we have that in place to help us out now if this situation worsens or things change. you know, in terms of the water availability. But we're looking pretty good in Fortuna. We have our groundwater wells, and we've been monitoring them for over a year, actually, and so we've got a lot of data on that, and the situation hasn't changed. So the money or the water that we're taking out is pretty much the same, and the levels after we take it out come back to the same level. So we're pretty comfortable with that for now. I mean, if things continue for another year or so, of course, we're going to be concerned. But right now, over the last year, everything's kind of stayed the same. So.
I bet you it's easy to tell if you really are in the tidal area of the Eel River now, like the Coastal Commission claims that you are. Hmm. When the tide comes in, you got water. When the tide goes out, not so much so.
Mm-hmm.
How close, I mean, have you gone down and looked to see literally how close are you?
I have not made that inspection myself.
I wonder if it's a couple hundred yards or if it's a couple of yards. I mean, if there would be a way to...
We're well out of the coastal zone, the way I understand it from my staff. But the way you're talking with the river, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's ever gone out and taken a look at
that. Probably not that many opportunities to take advantage of.
No, but this year there was, would have been the one.
So what would have happened if there wasn't the rain last week? You know, and for us to get 2.5 or 3 inches of rain is... certainly an oddity. Mm-hmm. In September. Would you have triggered a lot of those ordinances that were in place, or would you be that much closer?
We actually started with the new ordinance at our level 2, basically, which is consistent with what the state's guidelines are with the state's drought conditions.
Don't water your yard, that kind of thing?
Yes, and so we're encouraging people to not fill up their fountains that might just be for aesthetics. Unless they have a recirculating system. So again, it's not that bad. To keep your watering of your gardens and other things, to a minimum during certain hours and make sure that it's not running off onto the side. So it's still okay to water your lawn.
It's more like be normal and pay attention instead of watering the whole neighborhood.
Right. You know, when you're washing your car, make sure there's a spray nozzle or some type of control valve so that it's not just running while you're busy washing and then you pick it up and rinse so that there's control on it. So
how else do you get the kids wet if you don't have the little squirt gun, right?
You'd be missing out on the fun part.
Yeah.
So those basic items is where we're at now with phase two. And then if things were to have gotten worse, then there's another level.
If it gets worse, is there the water police?
There is, yeah. What would happen is our wastewater treatment guys and our water guys would monitor the situation, let us know, and we would send somebody out to go give a warning, and we'd give probably a couple warnings before we took any enforcement action. So we have talked about that.
I know this is going to sound stupid, but what do? Turn off their water?
Well, it's on a referral basis. So you asked about water police. Bill's guys aren't going to be driving around looking for sprinklers going. But if a neighbor says, hey, the guy across the street from me has had his water on every day and it's going for hours or whatever, then we get a notice and we'll give them the warning and the information. And so it comes with a fine. So your question is, what do you do next? There's monetary value associated with each notice that you get after the first warning. So that's what's hopefully going to be the deterrent.
Progressively more expensive?
Yes.
Quickly, progressively more expensive?
I didn't bring the list, but it gets up to about $500 fairly quickly.
Oh, well, that's not that much.
Well.
You know, to me, it's like texting, right? You want to stop texting, $2,500 and you lose your license for 2 years.
I do it.
I bet you all of a sudden you guys don't have as many people texting. The same thing with talking, with the crooked neck.
Right.
Things get squared up and cleaned up pretty darn quick if you got enough zeros behind it that it's not worth the reward.
Absolutely.
Yep.
$500, huh?
Like I said, I don't have the list with me, but that's what I recall. It like doubles twice and gets up to $500 after the third or fourth.
What about like restaurants and things like that? I know some of them have gone to ask for water, beg for water. Is that something that's recommended by the city in the level 3 situation?
I don't know that it's in. I don't recall seeing it in either of our level 2 or 3, but I know that's common in other parts of the state where they've already gone to that. But I don't believe we have that in our ordinance.
I suppose the option to that then is to have a beer right at the table instead of water.
Yeah,
and serve on water.
That's a good option.
We've got a couple establishments in Fortuna that you could try. Test that theory out with.
KINS News and Information Times 3:30.
Remember the music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Doberstein and Reagan Candelaria. Guys, you do have your version of a tax measure on the ballot. Everybody seems to have one, so hate to tell you, but in this stead, Fortuna's not unique.
Yeah.
What pushed you to the decision to put something like this together? And I know it's not the city proper, and you know that there's some of the political correctness. No. The election correctness.
Well, I can give you a good answer.
But what got it to that point?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question in that way, because there is a little bit of history. The city of Fortuna has been in a deficit mode for at least the last three fiscal years, and those are 3 years that I've been associated with the city's budget. And when I started in Fortuna, it was like, okay, I can see what's going on. I can see what we have to do here, to try and have a balanced budget, and that's basically cut. And that's what we've been doing for 3 years. But 2 years ago when I started, that was one of the first things I brought to the council was, hey, we need to try and have some balance with what we're doing here. We're going to cut, and we need to cut, but there's only so far you can go. And the balance would be that hopefully you can increase revenues in one way or another. And it took a couple years for the city council to kind of, be comfortable with that, because it's a tough thing. It's a very tough decision, and that's why I'm glad you asked that. But it's something that's very much needed in Fortuna, and the council started looking at things a little closer and considering it, and they agreed, unanimously back in July that, yes, we should put this on the ballot and allow our community the chance to decide that, yes, we want a stronger community, we want a better future, and we want to ensure that we have public safety, which is an area that we've cut very, and Bill's here. he's going to definitely agree. Their department's been cut.
You mean he doesn't like taking weekends and driving?
That's a route. That has definitely been
being a police guy regular.
Those cuts have caused some of that extra duty from Bill.
So you grunted something down there, Bill.
Well,
Was that sleep?
No, not sleep. Regan's absolutely right, and the police department has been very impacted with the cuts over the last 3 years, with the loss of personnel and positions, and losing our school resource officer, the officer we had in the high school, doing those sorts of things, because we had to move basically all of those other positions, just to cover patrol, because we're minimum staffing now. When you don't have the bodies to fill those positions, everybody works patrol, and that's kind of where we're at right now.
I know when the state did its shell game with sales tax, that took away some incentives, that added some incentives, I guess is the simplest way to say it. If the economy was robust, active, normal, historically normal, would the city be in this situation at all?
I would say that we still would be. And there's a lot of things that have come down from the state that have impacted our local, all of the cities, all of our abilities to have good balanced budgets. But what this will do, if Measure V is passed by the voters on November 4th, it will provide a reliable local resource for the city of Fortuna that Sacramento can't touch. That the other organizations, whether it be the county or the state, they can't come in and amend that. This will be Fortuna's revenue source, and it'll go directly to supporting our local services, like our police department that has taken staffing cuts and operational cuts. Bill didn't mention that part. We have been cutting in every department of the city, and particularly within our police department. And that's why the opportunity of, what's the other side to balance? Can we increase revenues? Because we can't go too much farther. Bill just mentioned we're down at our lowest level right now to provide the service to the community. So that's one of the reasons. The other reason you make that decision, Brian, you asked earlier, is, we went out and tested. We talked to the public. We did a community survey, and 65% of our voters in Fortuna said, yes, we would support a 1 cent sales tax increase if that's what's brought forward.
Now, with this, is it general fund not directed, because I know that has special meaning in this.
It's a general sales tax.
Okay, so you can't really promise yet where it's going to go, because that's going to be what the city council makes a call on?
That's correct. If we were to choose one specific thing and have put that on the ballot, then that would have a different requirement. But what we are committing to is that as part of that outreach process where the community said, yes, we would support a 1 cent sales tax increase at 65%, by the way, which was great, and made it a little easier for us to decide to move that route. We also asked them what they wanted. What were the community services that they saw as most beneficial to them? And that
so you got a general punch list.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so that's where I intend to go with my recommendations to the council. And I'm sure that the council wants to provide the services that the community says are important. So
have the city council candidates embraced this? Are they talking about it? Are they supporting it formally? Or is this one of those third rail issues where
The current council, like I mentioned, it was a unanimous vote, so all five of them supported this process. And then I know that our candidates that are out there have all expressed support. One of them showed up at our council meeting when they voted to put it on the ballot and expressed their support. And others I've heard at other forums say that they support Measure V and Fortuna. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I would think that lets you sleep a little bit easier. Yeah. Knowing you don't have a battle once the decision is made.
Right, and that we have three seats up in in November. So.
Yeah, I like the way you guys do it. 3 out of 4 win. That's a nice percentage.
Well, we have one retiring from the council. So that's why we have that other seat open.
Is there a sunset on this?
Yes. Our city council, we wrote right into our ordinance that the city council, pretty much any Monday, with a 4/5 vote, can repeal the sales tax if it's approved in November by the voters.
Any Monday?
That's correct.
That's gutsy, man.
Well,
of course, 4 out of 5, it's not that gutsy, but it's still, instead of saying 4 years or 5 years, and you have some, not guarantee, but some planning stability with it.
Yeah, and it's common in other cities. There's these extensions that maybe you've seen on the ballot as well. We're being realistic with what we have in Fortuna, and if we've met our needs in other ways and we're still able to provide the services, then our city council can very well say at any time that.
So you can sunset it at any night.
That's correct.
You get like the double entendre there.
The ordinance also includes a citizens oversight committee. So if there's a need or a desire, that board can bring those thoughts through, and they're going to help guide the decision of how the funds are going to be utilized. Also, we have our independent financial audit. So both of those things are there. They're in the ordinance. And when we did this testing back in the spring, again, 65% of the people said that they would support a 1 cent sales tax increase in the city of Fortuna without a sunset. So we added that in just as a extra benefit, extra support for the measure.
That's what I was going to ask you. When would you recommend to pull the plug?
As an administrator?
As an administrator, and walk away from whatever the dollar sign is associated with the 1%. How big would the contingency funds have to be, or the reserves? How robust would the economy have to be? Or, is this a short-term bridge for 18 months and you're open by month 18 that you don't need it anymore?
Well, we've cut quite a bit over the last 3 years in the city of Fortuna, and we've lost some other revenue sources. So we need to get back to the point where we're stable with what we used to have in terms of services, because we're down, pretty low in a lot of departments right now. We also know that our costs rise each year, for providing the services that we do. Our, the healthcare costs go up every year. Our retirement rates that we're subject to through the California State PERS system, go up exponentially. So we need to be able to keep track of that and hold the line there. Other operations costs continue to go up. You look at the gas prices today, you look at what they were.
Hey, didn't they go down?
5 or 10 years ago.
Oh, that's right. We're in Humboldt County.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. Set you up, knocked you down. KINA, that would be that high inside fastball, not the hanging curveball.
Oh, I was looking away.
Yeah, well, doesn't pay to do that. KINS, News and Information Times, 345. We'll be back with more from Regan Candelaria and Bill Doberstein.
Well, What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times, 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Bill Doberstein out of the Police Department, Regan Candelaria out of City Hall. So, other than sunshine, what's going on this week? Oh, we got the Apple Harvest Festival, right?
We do, Bill.
We do. It's coming up. It's on the 4th and the 5th this year. They've included Sunday the last couple of years to Apple Harvest, so it's a big community event. We get a lot of people in. And on the 4th, we're also doing our police department disaster fair. That's going to be right in front of the police department. We're taking a city block, but we've got the Army.
Zombies?
No.
No.
Oh.
No. We've got the Army, the Marines, the Air Force, Office of Emergency Services, Fortuna Rescue Ambulance, CAL FIRE, Fortuna Police, of course. And we've got all kind of static displays of things. The Marine Corps is going to bring their chin-up bar. The Army's bringing their rock climbing wall and that sort of thing. But the coolest thing, I think,
Coasties are bringing the hot tub?
Coasties are bringing the helicopter.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the cool thing. Yeah. So we're going to hover the helicopter.
Who's bringing the hot tub?
The hot tub, you know, that's afterwards.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the Coasties are bringing the helicopter, and they're going to do some stuff with that, and they're going to hover over our event and do some rappelling and things like that from it.
So is this at the police department?
It's going to be right in the front lot of the police department, City Hall. And
you're not taking it out to the park?
We're not, no. We're doing it. We're closer to, all the events are downtown anyway.
Okay.
Or the most of the stuff.
Parking. I know you have large, spacious parking for one employee in the city.
Right.
I just didn't realize that there was enough for the entire community to all squeeze into that
the
one
city
slot.
Manager's offered up his 10 parking spots for the rest of the community.
Oh, geez. You know, how could you ask for anything more?
Yeah. So we should have plenty of parking down there.
What time does that all start?
Starts at 10 o'clock. Our disaster fair starts at 10. Apple Harvest is, they start actually 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. They're setting up their booths downtown. And, of course, Clendenin's, Roner Park has got a bunch of stuff going on. So it really is a citywide event.
Okay, Regan, you wanted to defend your parking lot here? You got 20 seconds.
Yeah, my spot is available to anyone if they need to come and visit City Hall at any time, so please come on down.
You're not going to auction it off this year, huh?
No.
A little fundraiser on the side? Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thanks, Ryan.
Have a good meeting tonight.
All right, thank you.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.